Young Turks, Jay Uger, John Iadarola with you guys on a lovely Wednesday afternoon, slash evening, depending on where you are, slash morning, because it's an international audience. Okay, of course, as always, an amazing show for you guys. Climate change, good luck, good night. We're going to do that first in a second for you guys, so you'll see what's up with that in a sec. Later in the program, I told the DNC to fire everyone in the building. They listened. Interesting. So we'll tell you what the deal there is. Devil's in the details, and the proof is in the pudding, and sometimes the proof is in the details. Okay.
It's all just a big puddinging devil.
Yes, devil's definitely in the pudding, that's for sure. Okay, so that's later in the program. Also later in the program, a new form of marijuana has become more legal, but it might not be good news. Okay, both John and I are a little bit sick, so it ought to be a fascinating show. And of course, Anna's in the second hour.
Yeah, I might even experience some of it if the drugs let me. We'll see.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to start off some news from around the globe, both tragic, from the tragic to the incredibly speculative at this point. So starting off, unfortunately, a Spanish frigate picked up a 16-year-old boy floating on a piece of debris in the Mediterranean late last night. He's believed to be the only survivor of a shipwrecked refugee vessel carrying nearly 150 people. It debarked from Libya, and it contained mainly refugees from sub-Saharan Africa. This 16-year-old, the only survivor, 147 believed to be dead at this point.
Well, you know, a lot of people talk about refugees like they have some sort of bad intent. You know what their intent was? To find a little bit better life for their kids.
Yeah.
And only one survived.
Yeah, there was, by the way, there was another. Like, we try to focus on these because there was a little bit of news about it last year, and then it's gone. Nobody really talks about it. I mean, Reuters and CNN, they'll mention it in an article. Another ship with like 350 people on it was lost off the coast of Libya. Thankfully, a ship got the people, rescued them. But this, that could have ended exactly like this story. It happens all the time. Additionally, a bit of domestic news. Despite no evidence whatsoever that this actually occurred, 74% of Republicans now believe Donald Trump's claim that Trump Tower was wiretapped during last year's election. 74%. Nearly 50% of everyone in the country believes it. There's no evidence whatsoever, but you can get nearly half the country to believe just about anything these days.
I tend to think that Obama was hiding in a microwave.
we don't know about that yet. Okay, the number's a bit lower there. Trump still having to staff his cabinet, has a lot of picks he needs to make. His pick to be the next Air Force Secretary is former Congresswoman Heather Wilson, who currently owns stock in 16 different defense contractors. And after she left DC, went to work for a subsidiary of Lockheed Martin. Jesus. And so she will now be in charge. And she was investigated, by the way, for using insider information from when she was on the House Armed Services Committee to benefit the companies she was affiliated with so that they could get government contracts. That was before she left DC to become a lobbyist.
No, the thing, the only slight upside of Trump is how brazen he is. He's like, why bother with the middleman? I want the oil companies to run our foreign policy, so I'm going to take the CEO of ExxonMobil and make him in charge of foreign policy, make him Secretary of State. I want the defense contractors to rob us blind. Why bother pretending? Take a person who works for defense contractors, or 16 of them, right, and make her the head of the Air Force, so we just make the corruption more obvious.
Yeah.
He's like, well, I've been corrupt my whole life. I'm president. What difference does it make?
It's believed that she might divest from those stocks, which seems odd. Why should his employees be held to a higher standard than Donald Trump is? Weird how that works out. A bit of good news, actually, in terms of energy. Last year, coal made up 30% of all of the electricity generation in the country, which sounds like a lot, but it's actually the lowest share that coal has had in the 70 years that that information has been tracked. And to put it in perspective, just 9 years ago, it made up 48%. So it is on the downslope. I know that Republican politicians still like to throw around coal as this big thing, but coal executives don't believe the jobs are coming back. It's not competitive in terms of cost anymore. Now, that doesn't mean that we're just using solar and wind. Those are going up significantly, but it's actually natural gas that has taken up a big share of coal's former thing.
And you thought we wouldn't clean up coal.
Exactly. Well, clean it up by getting rid of it. And
right.
Finally, a Manhattan design firm has released their early plans for a skyscraper that would be built dangling from the bottom of an asteroid placed in geosynchronous orbit over Earth.
Get that.
Now, they admit it's not currently feasible, but it does look
really
awesome.
Yeah. How are you going to get to the asteroid to
Well, that's actually possible. NASA's working on a plan to visit and redirect a small asteroid. Now, you'd need a bigger one. It would cost billions of dollars, but it's not impossible. It's not impossible. Okay. And it does look pretty cool.
And so you take the elevator down, and I presumably
there's no elevator. They do have some pictures of people parachuting, though.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Here's who won't be living in that building. Me.
Yeah. It'd be a little bit expensive, too. Anyway.
All right. Okay. I have now I have a little piece of good news for you guys. You remember a couple of days ago, we talked about how the Democrats should do Medicare for all. And we told you about how 72 House Democrats were in favor of it, and which left 121 House Democrats that hadn't signed on for Medicare for all, which makes no sense because it has a 64% popularity rating. Now, the Republicans botched their health care proposals. So, perfect opportunity. Bernie Sanders proposing that legislation in the Senate. John Conyers did in the House. So, Justice Democrats stepped in and did a petition that some of you guys signed. Let's keep on signing it. It's justicedemocrats.com/single-payer. That is simply just get Medicare, which is an enormously popular program, and applied for everybody. And when you frame it that way, 64% of Americans agree, why not Medicare for all? So guess what happened since then and why I'm bringing it up now? 5 new House Democrats have signed on. And yes, they saw the petition. And I know that for a fact. And they reached out to Justice Democrats, some of them did, a couple of them did, and talked it through, and they're now on board. All of a sudden.
All of a sudden.
So you guys are having an enormous impact. I told you before that some politicians I heard through the grapevine are a little scared of the TYT audience, which is awesome. And now when you guys do something as simple as sign a petition, it's actually moving some members of the House.
Yeah.
So that is wonderful news. Keep it going. JusticeDemocrats.com/single-payer in this case. And if you're at JusticeDemocrats.com already, sign up to be a part of the party, which is super, super simple, takes about 10 seconds. That's the progressive wing of the Democratic Party that does not take corporate donations or PAC money. Okay? And so I think together we might start to change the world a little bit. Could you imagine?
Medicare for all?
Medicare for all. Let us whisper.
Yeah, we can. It doesn't seem that difficult. And you'd think, you know, it's good to see the movement of a few of these Democrats. You'd think, I mean, we consider a lot of the positions they should take to be common sense. But let's assume that none of them have common sense and they don't know what they should actually do after the terrible failures of the past few elections. They don't need to like flounder around looking for things to do. There are political leaders like Bernie Sanders and a few others in the Senate and the House. There's organizations like Justice Democrats and the Young Turks telling them what they desperately need to do. Just get rid of your own free will. We're giving you the guideline. You can sign on or we can move past you. That's pretty much how it's going to go.
And look, it's not a matter of getting rid of your free will, as John is kidding, obviously. It's a matter of, look, we're presenting to you overwhelming evidence. Why wouldn't you do something that 64%
backed up by polling, yes.
Yeah, it's not a matter of my opinion, John's opinion, anybody at Just Democrats' opinion. It's a matter of 64% of Americans, all Americans. 60% said they want the government to run healthcare insurance. That's Republican framing on that question, and it's still got 60%. We're just trying to help you out. And so if you can see reason and actually get to the position that a great majority of Americans agree with, fantastic, and I think a lot of the Democrats will. And then some will hold out and say, no, my donors don't want that position. Well, those guys will have to be moved out. Yeah. So they'll either find religion or they'll find the door.
But don't worry, when they lose their job, they'll have Medicare for all to fall back on.
Yes, and so for now, we whisper of a dream. But soon we might be shouting instead.
Yes.
JusticeDemocrats.com. All right, what's next?
Okay, let's turn to the biggest political news of the last day. Yesterday, the House voted to eliminate internet privacy protections set up under the Obama administration, paving the way for corporations to both track your private browsing data, then take that information and sell it to advertisers to be used for God knows what. Now, the actual path that they took to do this is very simple. We can read for you almost the entirety of the bill that was signed and will that was passed and will eventually be signed by Donald Trump, who has signaled his approval of it. Congress disapproves the rule submitted by the FCC relating to protecting the privacy of customers of broadband and other telecom services, and such rules shall have no force or effect. So they're not in favor of those consumer protections there, and a lot of people are pissed off about it. Now, those open service rules put internet access services in the same common carrier's legal category as phone companies. This is in the past couple of years, and therefore subject to the same longstanding privacy principles. That was all it was going to do. Now, the rules were still being drafted, basically. A lot of them had not yet gone into effect. They were being discussed and investigated. This, once it is signed, will put a halt to that. We'll take away the ones that have already been negotiated and confirmed, and we'll make it a lot easier for people to, for corporations to track your information, to profit off of it, for it to be spread. And we know from hacks and leaks, eventually a lot of that information can be released. There was that huge Yahoo hack of 500 million accounts. Imagine that on a grander scale. Now, activists are very concerned about this. We have a quote from Fight for the Future campaign director Evan Greer, an internet privacy activism organization, who says that gutting these privacy rules won't just allow ISPs to spy on us and sell our personal information. It will also enable more unconstitutional mass government surveillance and fundamentally undermine our cybersecurity by making our sensitive personal information vulnerable to hackers, identity thieves, and foreign governments. Which might sound like going too far, but when you allow these corporations to track this information, they will set up the technological means to do so through super cookies and other sorts of techniques like that. That then is able to be hacked, it's able to be leaked, it's able to be accessed by other organizations who don't simply want to personally profit off of it. And it is expected that it will now be signed. It was already, of course, passed in the Senate party line vote.
So I like that some folks are beginning to speak like me now. That's what I took away from this story. No, Evan Greer also said, Congress should know by now that when you come for the internet comes for you. Damn, I like it, Evan.
Yeah.
That's got good punch. Yeah. They're not coming for us, we're coming for them.
Yeah.
So now, let's give you a sense of the stuff that they could do with this. It is, as Nancy Pelosi pointed out, right for change, deeply personal information, where you are, where what you want to know, every site you visit, and more. She pointed out that it's true, including if you're in private browsing mode. Oops, you thought it was private. And then TC Sotek at The Verge made a great point. So the Republicans frame this as consumer choice and free markets. They asked, who would choose to have all their private information given to a public corporation which could then profit off of it and not share the profits with them? Who would you, like, what kind of consumer choice is that?
There are some exhibitionists, we don't want to shame them, but it's not a big portion of the population.
It ain't about consumer choice, you get nothing out of it.
Yeah.
No, it's about these companies that have greased these Republicans and some Democrats, yeah. But in this case, it was a party line vote. Give credit to the Democrats. None of them voted for it in the House.
A few Republicans, I believe, crossed over to the Democrats, but not the other way.
15 Republicans crossed over and voted the right way, but 265 members of Congress that were Republicans said, oh no, I don't give a damn about your internet privacy. My corporate friends who donated a ton of money to me will now get a lot more money from you guys, whether you like it or you don't.
Well, but see, that's what's funny about this. So in that same Verge article, they did a great job of going back through some of the disclosure information of donations from telecoms. So let's talk about that greasing. We're used to, when it comes to like energy or the military, these huge sums of money being thrown at these people. But wait until you see how cheap it was for them to buy people when it came to your internet privacy. You might think, what'd they get? You know, $1 million, couple million dollars? No. We're going to show you, some of the Republicans, how much they got from the telecoms. We're just going to show you the A's. Let's bring this up. That's the total for Ralph Abraham got $5,750 and he sold you out for it. Jody Arrington, $8,400. Now look, Mark Amaday, who I've never heard of before, he was a hard bargainer. He got $22,000. So he was willing to sell you out for nothing. And I looked through the whole list. There are some people who got $60,000, $80,000, but it's nothing compared to the cost of running an election. They were still willing to sell you out for it.
So a couple of things about that. Number one, to be fair to these congressmen who are bought cheap but not that cheap, this is per election. So this is in the last election. So now remember, every election that they come back, they go, "Now look, I gave you $2,600 last time. Maybe I can make it $5,200." Right? I mean, this is like an open auction.
Yeah.
This is unbelievable. It's open public bribery. We just made it legal. And also, some of them got a little bit higher numbers, including I saw one at $91,000. And their prices are based on a lot of different factors, including seniority and whether they're the chair of a committee. So, and if they're the chair of your committee, well, then you got to bribe them even more. It's amazing. It's an open market for bribery, and you can see it with your own eyes.
Oh, there's consumer choice, it turns out. They're well, the consumers, though.
Yeah, there's corporate choice. There ain't no consumer choice. Wolf-pack.com to get money out of politics, or otherwise you'll never end this kind of bribery.
Yeah, there's one other aspect of this that I do want to cover, though. So obviously we're concerned about Congress deciding that you have no privacy whatsoever on the internet anymore. And there's a lot of different areas that we're worried about, like your political searches could come out and be sold potentially. But there's a congressman, Mike Capuano, Democratic congressman, who has very specific concerns about his privacy being violated online. So let's go to his speech now.
Thanks, Joma Fielding. I have a simple question. What the heck are you thinking? What is in your mind? Why would you want to give out any of your personal information to a faceless corporation for the sole purpose of them selling it? Give me one good reason why Comcast should know what my mother's medical problems are. Just last week, I bought underwear on the internet. Why should you know what size I take? Or the color? Or any of that information? These companies are not going broke. That's not the situation. The internet is not in jeopardy. This is plain and simple. And I don't get this. When I was growing up, I thought one of the tenets of the Republican Party that I admired the most was privacy. There is nothing in today's society that every one of us doesn't do every day on the internet. And yet, Comcast is going to get it. Not because I said it's okay. And what are they going to do with it? Kind of look at it and say, oh yeah, hey, Mike takes a size 38 underwear. That's great. They're going to sell it to the underwear companies. Hey, he bought this kind of underwear. He likes this color. Let's give him ads. By the way, most of those ads are useless because I already bought the underwear. I don't need any more. But it's none of their information. It's none of their business. Go out in the street. Please leave Capitol Hill for 5 minutes. Go anywhere you want. Find three people on the street who think it's okay. And you can explain to them ROIs, and the company has to make progress, and we have to make money.
Gentlemen's time has expired.
You'll lose that argument every single time, as you should.
Gentlemen's time has expired.
And I guarantee you, you won't find anybody in your
district. Gentlemen's time has expired. The gentleman from Colorado reserves. The gentleman from Texas.
That's awesome.
So you remind me a little bit of Will Ferrell there in Old School. And I'm wondering, what color is underwear?
what's the cut?
Right. Actually, in that analogy, Comcast is Will Ferrell.
That's true. Yeah.
I'm wondering, what size is Capuano's underwear? What color is it?
I like that he mentioned like his mom's health care, and then he says, you know, I bought underwear, and it's like, oh, these are some of the things we do. But then he just kept going back to it, and it's not a metaphor. He just did that, and he's worried about it. So I do love that. And his last point is great. I mean, this is the sort of thing that gets debated and eventually gets passed in Congress, that I don't think you could find three people if you actually explained it. Who the hell would support this? But they can do it. They get a little bit of money for it. It's not used in ads against them. They get reelected. It's a great system from their point of view.
An unbelievable open auction, because you're absolutely right. If we actually lived in a democracy and you went to the American people and said, now, would you like the choice of having corporations profit further off of you, which, by the way, you don't have the choice of which broadband you could use 9 out of 10 times, right? So you got to sign up through this internet provider, and then they get to make more money off of you by knowing your private information. Now, what do you get? Nothing. Buckus. You get nothing in return. Who would make that deal? Yeah. In a democracy, how would that possibly pass? But we don't have a democracy. We have a kleptocracy. And we have these guys who are like, okay, you didn't pay me money. That dude gave me a check. So I'm going to represent Comcast, Verizon, etc. Look,
or Calvin Klein.
Yeah. And it's all about, again, I never think that these people or corporations or whatever are evil. It's just a matter of Comcast thinks, well, how am I going to make more money? Well, I'm paying that guy $2,650. He's going to let me know what kind of underwear you're wearing.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm going to make a lot more money on that in mass. Right? So why wouldn't I do that deal? So you got to make that deal illegal. Otherwise, of course, they will do that to maximize profit off of, in this case, literally your ass.
So we have a petition, I believe. Can we put up this graphic? It's related to this concern. They think it's totally cool to just take your browser history, profit off of it privately. So then what about Donald Trump? What's he searching for? What kind of underwear does he take? What size? What color?
So probably
what is he
orange.
Searching for? I think we all know what he's searching for on the internet. I think if ours should be public, then his should be public too, goddammit.
Oh man, if he search I don't even want to.
I made a prediction before the show about what he's searching for. I'm not going to say it because it's a family program, but I think you all know.
It is about the family though. Okay, anyway, so look, I know that petitions are sometimes supposed to be very serious business, okay? To get action, and we have very serious petitions on the show. But I like, so you never know, man. Mm-hmm. A million people might sign this. Yeah. Go, hey, if you're going to know my browsing history and you sold it off for $5,000 in campaign donations, I want to know your browsing history. Let's have it, Donald.
This is dead serious.
And by the way, Donald, so now it's passed the House and the Senate. It's up to you. He could veto it.
He could.
He could. If you don't want your browsing history out there, Donald, veto it. Otherwise, let's have at it, okay? Yeah. Give us your browsing history.
Okay. Okay, let's turn to another big domestic politics story. Despite Trump care going down, do we want to take the break first? Oh, really? Okay, sorry, I was thrown off a bit there. We are going to get to that. Just want to give you a little bit of suspense. Trump care 2.0 potentially coming in the near future. We are going to take our break though. Before that, hopefully you've been tweeting hashtag TYT live. We'll get to those when we come back from this break.
And of course, me being proven right. So that's always fun on the program.
I can't wait.
Right back. All right, back on the Young Turks. Thank you to some folks who are chipping into the journalism campaign. $27 from Ronnie in Norway, $50 from Azmuth in Texas, and $127 from Kim in Georgia. You guys are awesome. No more donations, right? Since petitions for Medicare for All is fine, but we need to show up at our representatives' town hall meetings in person to really let them know. By the way, oh, look at that. Jesus and Lord Mercy, nice job, 1.538. Can I see 1.540 by the end of the show? That's not asking too much.
Can we see 50,000 donors? Not by the end of the show, okay. By the end.
Every dollar counts. Thank you, guys. That's awesome. And not just Republican town halls, but go to Democratic town halls. Ask them to sign up for Medicare for All. They have no excuse not to. The mathematician says Medicare for All, bring the rest of the Democrats on board, but don't trust them until it's voting time. Well, that's the good news, which is that we're past that whole trusting them nonsense that TV pundits did. No, we're going to show you all the votes. Lex Mandrake said, Capuano is such a freaking Bostonian. I love it. What a badass. Brandon Atkins said, I love the sentiment, but I learned way too much about Capuano's underwear.
Is everybody else not curious now? I just would have assumed it was white, but if he keeps saying what color, I want what color?
We don't know. That's the thing. But I like that Brandon ended that tweet by saying, I can't think of a better reason for privacy. Well, mission accomplished.
Yeah.
All right, what's next, Jeff?
Okay. So we've already had the Trump and Republican attempt to repeal and replace Obamacare, whether you call it Trump Care or Ryan Care or whoever was failing at that particular moment, it tended to be named after, it went down. They didn't actually end up getting it. But that doesn't mean that it's dead. Donald Trump still confident that he can get this thing passed, which you're going to see in this clip.
I know that we're all going to make a deal on health care. That's such an easy one. So I have no doubt that that's going to happen very quickly. I think it will, actually. I think it's going to happen. Because we've all been promising, Democrat, Republican, we've all been promising that to the American people. So I think a lot of good things are going to happen there.
So look, during the campaign, he would often say, you know, we're gonna get rid of ISIS really, really fast. Haven't actually seen anything on that. We got to bring back our counter. It's going to be so easy to do all these things, but he's already failed on this. And he's still confident that they can knock this thing out.
Well, I'm constantly reminded of one of his friends who said, look, we like Donald. We just know, you know, he can't help himself. He lies all the time. Mm-hmm. But once you get past that, he's a good guy, which is kind of a funny thing to say, right?
Yeah.
So I like John's face there when we came back from the clip, like, right. So the three parts of this that were amusing. First, he says, it's going to happen very quickly. It just failed. So why would you overpromise like that? Because he can't help himself. Yeah. Right? That's crazy to say it's going to happen very quickly. All you're going to do is disappoint very quickly.
He's the master of hyperbole.
That's right. And he can't help that either. That's exactly right. And then you can tell what a liar he is, because after he says that big, grand, ridiculous promise, he says, I think it will, actually. Why do you have to add the actually?
Yeah.
Right? Because he's like, I think it will actually. He's like, maybe it will.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Even though I just told you it's going to happen. And then he says, we've all been promising it, Democrat, Republican, we've all been promising that to the American people. No, wait, the Democrats promised to pass health care, and they did. That's the Affordable Care Act. Mm-hmm. They didn't promise to destroy it, they promised the opposite. So I don't see any reason why they'd want to work with you, unless you want to pass Medicare for all, in which case you would. By the way, you said you would protect Medicare. And you said you would expand health care and you would make lower premiums. That would actually accomplish all of your goals that you promised on the campaign trail. And it is incredibly popular. Nearly 2/3 of Americans want Medicare for all. If you want to work with Democrats and you want to make a deal.
His approval rating would soar.
No, it would go up 20 points. I'm not kidding.
Points at least. How many Democrats would he win over?
And how many independents would he win over? They'd be like, see, finally a nonpartisan guy. We elected a non-politician. And he did the things that he promised on his campaign. It would be shockingly effective.
Yeah.
So he's got all of the reasons in the world to actually get it done quickly. And he could do this and shock the world and get a really great policy in place. And then we would support him. I would say that was a great job.
I'd still oppose him.
But I care about policies, right? And that would be a major, massive win for Trump.
It would, yes.
So that's all on him.
Yeah, now look, when I was mocking him coming out of that video, understand that I'm not one of the people who believes that it is definitely not going to be repealed now. I know what I'm saying is that it's not going to be fast and it's certainly not going to be easy. He should have experienced that, he should know by now. But because of the stakes, I don't think anyone should discount the possibility that it could be brought back. Perhaps not today, perhaps not tomorrow, but if some sort of situation happens that drastically changes the political calculus, if his approval rating spikes after a terror attack or what is pitched as a terror attack happens, then it's not impossible. But what's funny about that situation is that he's in a room filled with other senators, I believe almost all of them Republicans, and he's saying it's going to be easy. We know it's going to be easy. And this dummy is sitting there talking to people who know that he's wrong, but they have to nod their heads because he gets to be their leader. And so Mitch McConnell is sitting there, Senate Majority Leader, who said this afterward. I think where we are on Obamacare, regretfully at the moment, is where the Democrats wanted us to be, which is the status quo. It's pretty obvious we were not able in the House to pass a replacement. Our Democratic friends ought to be pretty happy about that because we have the existing law in place. I think we're just going to have to see how that works out. We believe it will not work out well, but we'll see. They'll have an opportunity now to have the status quo, regretfully. That is a turtle that has given up. That is a turtle who is not going to push for that right now. But he's sitting in front of a room full of people trying to tell them this is going to be easy, we're going to knock it out super fast, no problem. That is a huge disconnect there.
Yeah. He can't help himself. You leave him in a room alone, and you'll be like, this is done. And But Donald, we just saw the movie. It's like, we came out of Titanic and he's like, oh, the Titanic's going to win. It's going to win big.
No
Trust
problem.
Me, it's going to be tremendous. The Titanic's going to win so many times, you're going to get tired of the Titanic winning.
Yeah. Now, really fast, just because I'm growing to increasingly hate this guy because of the way that he's treating reporters. But whenever Trump says something ridiculous, it is then obligated within 24 hours, Sean Spicer has to say something ridiculous. And so here is his defense of that Trump quote we just showed you.
That comment with the comment on healthcare it being the easy one to get that done, it sounds like you probably have heard this and come across this notion that he's just detached from reality in making those comments.
First of all, I think that I would respectfully ask you that you review the tape. He was having a lighthearted moment. It's on tape. Everybody watched it. He was poking fun and making a joke. There's been comments in the before about how he didn't get it, and he was joking about how easy it was, okay? It was a lighthearted moment. It was on tape. I think everybody, and the idea that there's this, like, trying to make it look like, you know, he was being utterly serious at the time is a little bit of a stretch.
Okay, that's amazing. I just figured out what happened. So, first of all, I love the beginning of Spicer going, okay. And second of all, that didn't appear to be a joke at all. You did just watch the tape. You just saw it with your own eyes.
We know how Trump jokes.
Yeah.
That wasn't it.
That wasn't it. But I think that someone actually did write it as a joke. You know how they write speeches for the president, right? But Trump is so stupid, he didn't realize it was supposed to be a joke. He just read it like, that's what I would normally say. We're going to win. It's going to be so easy. You're going to be amazed at how easy it is. And probably the writer of the speech is like, ay, 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 ay.
Yeah, the deadpan delivery. We mock people who use like teleprompters, but I guess there is at least a little bit of skill. You need a little bit of self-awareness to read into the words the tone of the expected delivery. But anyway, so it's not impossible that it could come back. It seems like Republicans would love to move on. Mitch McConnell doesn't seem interested. Paul Ryan is once bitten, perhaps twice shy. But again, as always, the consequences for repeal, if it does happen, incredibly significant in terms of monetary loss, the huge number of people who would die prematurely. And so we can't take our eye off of it. But Donald Trump does seem a bit detached from reality.
It's just because it's fun. Play video 4.
Now, I have to tell you, it's an unbelievably complex subject. Nobody knew that health care could be so complicated.
It's funny every time. Judge Jeanine Pirro went out, the one that he praised on Sunday. She's like, no one expected, you know how she screams? No one expected that the president, who was a businessman, would know how to pass laws.
That's kind of true. But the person who disagreed with her was Donald Trump, who during the campaign literally said, nobody knows more about health care than Donald Trump. He said it. He said that about multiple topics, but he did say it about healthcare as well. Anyway, okay, let's move on to a bit of controversy. As new chairman Tom Perez contemplates the future of the DNC, the stage has now been set for them to potentially clean house. Immediately after Perez's selection as party chairman in late February, an advisor to outgoing DNC interim chair Donna Brazil, Leah Daughtry, asked every employee to submit a letter of resignation dated April 15th. Now, a committee advising Perez on his transition is, as we speak, interviewing staff and others as part of a top-to-bottom review process to decide not only who will stay and who will go, but how the party should be structured in the future. So it's not just in terms of potentially firing people and then getting new ones to fill those slots, potentially changing up the actual structure of the DNC, which would actually be necessary if they want Keith Ellison's new position as sort of deputy chair to actually mean something and have an actual effect. They would need to structurally change the DNC. So this is significant. It seems like there's a lot of opportunity there. We have reasons to be hesitant in getting too excited about how many people will actually be fired. But a spokesperson for the DNC is trying to tamp down expectations, so that's wonderful.
Oh, great.
Saying this is longstanding precedent of the DNC and has happened during multiple chair transitions. The process was started before the election of the new chair. From the beginning, Tom has been adamant that we structure the DNC for future campaigns. Current and future DNC staff will be integral to that effort. Over the last few months, the DNC staff has done incredible work under immense pressure to hold Trump accountable. And Tom Perez recently was quoted as saying, what we're trying to do is culture change. We're repairing a plane at 20,000 feet. You can't land the plane, shut it down, and close it until further notice. So if it was a plane, that is exactly what you should do. You should land the plane and close it. What are you talking about? Do it in the air.
Right.
I don't think he's an engineer at all.
He's like, no, trust me, I got this. No, Tom, don't do it. Okay. Anyway, but of course, I actually agree with the principle he's laying out there, which is, look.
You can't just shut down.
Yeah, what are you going to, you have to keep going. And I think this is a pretty bold way of doing it while it's in the air. It's a good time to do it. This is exactly when you should begin to think about how you transition. And I'm glad that he's listening to me because here's what I said on November 10th. So the DNC obviously had a miserable failure in this election. There was a great chance that they were supposed to take back the Senate. The seats that were up were largely Republican. It was a great
opportunity, and they blew it. So I have said from hour one that everybody in the building should be fired. DNC should, of course, go in a new direction. You can't possibly keep these losers.
Well, okay.
We'll see.
Glad to see that they're listening to the DNC. So that was obviously a couple of days after the election. Now, in reality, that is likely not what's happening. So yeah. They're submitting the resignations ahead of time. That doesn't mean they're all getting fired.
Or even many.
Yeah. They're going to analyze that. Now, the most important part is who is the one doing that analysis? Well, it's the transition team. Now, wait, if you follow the show or the news closely, you might remember that Nomi Kantz, one of our reporters at the Young Turks, broke the story about who was on the transition team. And in the beginning, it was, I believe, 23 out of 24 people were Hillary Clinton supporters, some big Democratic consultants and lobbyists included. Only one was a Bernie Sanders supporter. Oops. Now, they normally would do that, get away with it. Nobody would pay attention, and nobody in the mainstream press would ever talk about it. Well, we caught them on it, so then there was a little bit of backlash. And then they were like, okay, we found some Bernie supporters. And they added a couple of Bernie supporters to that team, yes, which is still overwhelmingly establishment Democrats.
Yes.
So now it doesn't really matter because the proof will be in the pudding. The
proof. And supposedly Perez is meeting with Bernie Sanders and
yeah, and he met with Chuck Schumer, and Chuck Schumer said, "If Ellison is happy and Bernie Sanders is happy, then I'm happy." Wow. Okay. Great. But look, we have positive signs. We have negative signs. It doesn't matter. The proof has never been more in the pudding than this. And if they think they're going to play another trick where they're like, oh my God, we got everybody's resignation. And then the next day they came back in. And and the people that, or the ones that we replace are even bigger Democratic consultants that make even more money off of you. Right? Who knows? They might still think it's the old days and they might play a trick like that. Guess what? We're going to find out. We're going to know. It's not the old days where you can rely on your buddies on TV to cover your ass.
Yeah.
And have Morning Joe go out there, oh, I'll tell you what, that is a bold move by Tom Perez. I will declare a progressive. Wink.
Yeah,
right?
They better watch out. I mean, Namiki does have to sleep a little bit, but not that much.
Yeah. And so, on the other hand, if that transition team filled with Hillary Clinton supporters does come out with a new staff that is very progressive and heads in a progressive direction, wonderful, wonderful. I'm not close to that option. I would love that option. So let's hope that they go in that direction.
Well, I mean, I would say the fear is, I'm not so afraid that they won't choose progressives. It's what are they going to do? Because ideology is one thing, but what is your actual strategy? I mean, Namiki was saying what we should focus on is, are they actually just focusing on these big national ad buys? Are they actually investing in state parties and local? I mean, that's sort of structural differences that you can choose people who might be huge progressives, but if they're focused on the wrong things when it comes to actual elections, then they can fail like anyone else. So I think that we need to have a clear game plan articulated by Tom Perez and the other higher ups in the DNC. That's what I'm waiting to see.
Okay, so at this point, hold, and let's find out who they actually hire, fire, etc. And maybe they think that it's in the minutia. And how do you know if that staffer is progressive or a consultant or friends with lobbyists? It's the internet, my friends. We'll probably know. So, and at the end of the day, John is 100% right. It's how you run the elections. So if you go back to hiring your consultant buddies at 15% that they take on TV ads, and you waste all your money that way, and you don't build up any kind of grassroots movement, and you don't help the state parties, and you don't do what's actually effective strategy, which is knocking on doors, and you don't energize people to show up so they could be volunteers, instead you rely on a money heavy strategy with big donors and corporations still ruling the place, we're not going to miss that news story.
Yeah.
So if you think you're going to pull the wool over people's eyes, maybe you could for a brief period of time, but push is going to come to shove and election time is going to come and you're not going to be able to kid anyone.
Yeah.
So right now the ball's in their court, we'll see which way they go.
Yeah. Okay, last big story of the day, let's transition to that.
Break. Okay. That was a nice little snap.
I like that, yeah.
Okay, I could.
That's cool. Okay, so before we get to the last big story, one more break.
Yes, and that story is about how Obama's climate policies have been shredded. But we're going to tell you what's got shredded and what the scale of the damage is. So when we come back. back on the Young Turks. Heiserberg writes in, unfortunately, there's no money for our massively corrupt politicians in single payer. It's a damn shame. I hear you, brother. That's why we're going to get money out of politics. That's why it fixes all the other problems. Wolf-pack.com.
There's no money, but there's votes, which is what they're trying to use the money to get. Why not just get the popular support?
Man, that's crazy talk, John. Okay, they're so in their bubble, they can't see straight. You're absolutely right. They've confused the ends and the means. Joni R. says, if he gave us Medicare for all, referring to Trump, he would be seen as one of our great presidents, even if he messed up everything else afterward. Look, there's some truth to that. There is some truth to that, but don't hold your breath. He's not going in that direction.
Yeah.
Okay, tytnetwork.com/go. Let's hire some more journalists. $27 from Gene in Colorado, $100 from Loretta in California, and $127 from Rebecca in North Carolina. Haven't gotten to 1540 yet. Let's take a quick look at that. And by the way, as we're looking at that, let me tell you, in the post game today, the right wing launched an attack against me last night.
Really?
Okay, no, we didn't get to 540.
Let's not that far off.
All right, tytnetwork.com/go, make that happen. In the post game today, I will tell you about the right wing attack launched against me. I don't want to make a whole clip out of it and give them more publicity, but three of their theoretical big dogs attacked me last night. So that's kind of interesting. Not in person, don't worry. They would have regretted that. Anyway, I'll tell you that in the post game for members at tytnetwork.com/join.
He would have Michael Vick those big dogs. That's awful.
That's horrible.
That's terrible.
Even me, that's,
sports references search from John. What do you expect? That's the only language I speak in. Sports reference.
Animals are innocent.
Okay, all right, we move
nice
forward.
Okay. This week, Donald Trump signed a slew of executive orders paving the way to destroy virtually all of Barack Obama's climate change and environmental actions and executive orders. Here are some of the biggest changes that Trump has in store for us. The first is paving the way to eliminate the Clean Power Plan. So it's difficult to overstate how important the Clean Power Plan is in terms of our commitment to reaching the goals set by the Paris Climate Accord, to taking responsibility for the future change in global temperatures. But here's what it is. The Clean Power Plan was a major EPA rule aiming to cut emissions from existing US power plants 32% below 2005 levels by 2030. Now, that is just a part of what's necessary for us to cut our total carbon emissions enough to avoid catastrophic climate change. But it's very important. It's a set of stringent requirements for existing power plants, and they are going to do what they can to destroy it based on this executive order. The next is also important, changing carbon standards for new coal plants. So Obama had fairly stringent regulations on existing power plants and even more stringent ones on new coal-fired power plants. It basically made it economically unfeasible to create new coal power plants, which is important. And it helped over the past few years to phase out something like 15,000 megawatts of coal-powered electricity generation has gone away over the past couple of years. This is one of the things affecting that. Now, again, they can't just immediately get rid of those, but they can drastically change the requirements, change definitions in a way getting rid of these regulations. The next is methane emissions regulations. One of the best things that Obama did for the environment was changing the abilities of companies to just simply release methane into the atmosphere. Now, methane is smaller by volume in terms of how much we emit, but its actual effect on global climate change is even stronger per unit volume. And so they're going to potentially destroy that, make it easier for companies to simply emit it. And we actually saw in California not too long ago a massive methane leak. And you can see the damage that it does almost in real time, basically.
So here's a quote from one of the articles covering this in the New York Times. Earlier this month, the EPA announced it was withdrawing a rule that required existing oil and gas well operators to provide information about methane emissions. So when you remove that rule, now they can emit all the methane they want and they don't have to tell you about it. So that's basically saying, have at it, Hoss.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't plan that.
It just sort of works.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? This methane that
we shouldn't even know.
That's even more damaging than carbon. They're like, I don't want to know. I don't want to just, hey, are you making money? You made an extra $5. Who cares? Put all the methane you want into the air.
Yeah.
The American people don't need to know. What do we represent, the American people? No, we represent companies. No, actually, you represent the American people. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to find out on our behalf.
Hiding that information, great for the companies, bad for you. My recollection is that it's 86 times more damaging to the environment, but don't quote me on that. Look it up. Obama had set a goal of reducing methane emissions 40% below 2012 levels by 2025. And they were going to do different things to detect, plug leaks and all of that. God knows what's going to happen to that that limit in the next few years. The next is changing the calculations of the social cost of carbon. So this is really interesting, doesn't get talked about much. But back in 2009, Obama's White House gathered a dozen agencies together and tried to assign a dollar value to the cost of emitting a ton of carbon dioxide, taking into account scientific modeling on the damage caused by aspects of global warming, such as droughts and floods. They settled on a central estimate of around $36 per ton in 2015, rising over time. It's expected that it's actually far more costly than that, but they were starting somewhere. They might well just get rid of that entirely thanks to this new executive order by Donald Trump.
Let me just jump in there too. I love that. I think that's a great idea because that's about the free market. Now, I know Republicans say, oh, no, for the mere, right? No, you're not. You're a crony capitalist. You just want to help these companies no matter how much it hurts everyone else. So if you create a product and it has a byproduct, you should pay for the cost of that byproduct. You shouldn't force the public to pay for that cost. You shouldn't pay the whole world to pay for that cost. We didn't profit off your product. You did. So you should bear the actual cost of your product.
Yeah, exactly.
So like, let's say it's your two neighbors real quick. One of them is making a lot of money from doing something in his property, but all of the junk from that, the pollution or whatever else, goes into your house. And he says, I don't care, that's going to kill your kids or whatever it is. Well, then you should pay thousands of dollars to clean it up. But wait, I didn't make any money off of it. You're the one who made the money and you're making me pay the cost. He's like, yeah, so what? And the crony capitalists, that is the Republican Party, come in and go, well, that guy gave me campaign donations and you didn't. So you suffer the cost and he takes all the profits.
Yeah.
That's not free market. It's also obviously not fair. If you make a product and it has a byproduct that costs a lot, you should pay that cost.
Yeah, and in terms of pollution, like that's a metaphor. It's also literally what's happening right now. And they want to double down on that. Next, they want to eliminate the moratorium on federal coal leasing. There's huge areas of the US with coal reserves that had been being leased out to coal companies at basically far lower than market cost, subsidizing the cost of digging up this coal and then burning it. Obama stopped all of that. He's put a moratorium on it for a period of a few years. We're not going to do it. Now they're simply going to open that up. And that's one of the things that they can do basically today if they want. The next is investigating anything that inhibits energy production. It is actually that broad. They want every one of these organizations to look at every rule, every regulation in any way that could inhibit energy production of any kind. That's the sort of toddlerish language they're using.
And what it actually means is inhibit the profits of our campaign contributors.
Exactly.
We will not allow it. We have to remove all of those inhibitors.
Yeah.
And then you guys are going to pay the cost. But hey, you never donated to Republicans, so that's your problem, not my problem.
Exactly. Finally, two things that aren't in this. It doesn't say whether they're going to remove themselves from the Paris Climate Accords, and they haven't yet categorically taken away the EPA's ability to regulate carbon emissions as an environmental pollutant. Those are two of the big boys, and they might be coming.
Okay. And finally, in this regard. Let's just think this through for a second. As they explain in the beginning of every article that covers this, this is about, as John laid out, the emissions for rules for power plants, limits on methane leaks, moratorium on federal coal leasing, use of social cost of carbons, etc. Now, as you look at that entire list, does anyone think that the Republicans would ever make any of that stuff safer and say, okay, now corporations, you're going to have to pay a little bit more here because we don't want that poison in the air? Because it affects us all and it affects our children. Now, so let's do a balancing act here. Some of this stuff, we're going to do less regulation. Some of this stuff, we're going to do more regulation because we studied it. Mm-hmm. No one expects that. If you do, you're a fool. And of course, they never deliver that. All they ever do is less regulation, less cost on companies, more cost on you. Every single time. And including this case, every single rule that they pass was for less safety, less protection of consumers, and for more maximizing profit for the corporations that donated to them. Gee, I wonder who they actually represent. Okay, now I want to do one last thing for you guys. This is a segment we can call the debunker. Every once in a while, the Republicans will say, we're getting rid of all the regulation in energy because we want energy independence. They've been saying that for decades now. Yeah. What does that mean? Here's what it means. Nothing. So I want you to go tell your friends, family, share this video with them. We don't actually keep all of the oil, gas, coal, etc. that we produce in America. That is not a thing. It doesn't work like that. You could look it up. We don't own that energy. The private corporations own the energy and they sell it. They sell a lot of it here. They also sell a lot of it abroad. There is an international market, for example, for oil. We can't just say, okay, this is America's oil. And if we did and we socialized it or nationalized it, that would be borderline communism. Mm-hmm. If we said, hey, that's American oil, so we're just going to keep it, instead of letting ExxonMobil take the profits from it.
The Republicans would never support that.
They would never support that. So when they say, if we drill more and we release more methane and we do the more fracking and you have hundreds of earthquakes in Oklahoma, it's okay because we're energy independent. Really? Does that mean those companies are not allowed to sell that energy abroad? No, it doesn't mean that. Does that mean there's only an internal market for the US? No, the prices are set globally. So it is a nonsense talking point. Anytime you see someone on TV saying energy independence, understand that they are enormously full of crap and they know it. Okay, just that simple. All right, everybody check out youtube.com/thinktank. Johnny Pie is back from Europe. Did you bring any Wiener Schnitzel back?
No, but I did eat it there. Delicious.
Agreed.
No, the food there is great, especially in Amsterdam. God damn, they have some good ideas.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break here. Now, when we come back in the next hour, there's some stories that I love.
Synthetic marijuana.
Oh, synthetic marijuana.
Marijuana from the future.
Okay, is it a good thing or a bad thing, though? There's a little twisty twist in that story when we return.